brought to you by Penguin.
A Flat Place by Noreen Masood, read by Shazia Nichols. Introduction. To say, as some do, that the self must be narrated, that only the narrated self can be intelligible and survive, is to say that we cannot survive with an unconscious. Judith Butler, giving an account of oneself. Every morning in Lahore, as we drove to school, there came a point when I'd quieten and coil into myself. Jammed together with me in the back seat, my sisters went on quarrelling, poking one another with elbows, voices raised in jeers or protest. But I stared out of the window, holding myself taut as we passed the carpet seller, his rug spread over the grass embankment on the side of the road, and pinned up on the trees with long nails. My favourite moment of the day was coming, and I had to be ready. If I wasn't prepared, if a kick broke my concentration or wrestling siblings knocked my head out of its line of sight, I'd miss the miracle. Because when we reached the end of that cramped road, our car dodging donkey carts and street sellers and dashing children, and turned the corner, in that instant, the world opened out. Lahore vanished around me. All I could see, stretching out for miles, were huge, empty fields. We'd crossed from city into fairy tale. And every morning, no one noticed but me. I've forgotten so much of my early life, but those fields have stayed with me. How could there be so much empty land in the middle of crowded, parched, shouting Lahore? How could anything be so deeply, achingly green? I felt that green on my skin and in my dry throat. The school playground never kept its grass more than a few days. Every year it was re-sown, optimistically, the seeds sending up dark, dusty tufts, as though Lahore might decide to change its climate. But within days the ground had baked solid and brown, under the blasting sun, and the thousands of small feet in shiny black shoes. Not those fields. Through the summer sun, monsoon downpour and winter mists, and the spring whose creeping heat I experienced like the sound of a distant, sinister drum, they stayed lush. I kept my stare fixed on that beautiful alien colour as the trees flicked past the window, a long row of trunks lining the road, which measured out my journey to school as rhythmically as a heartbeat. The fields were perfectly, shimmeringly flat. No people crossed them. No hills, no valleys, no machinery. There was nothing for the eye to light on. Good, I thought. My gaze didn't want to be distracted. It wanted to fly and fly, like a bird skimming the grass without stopping. I imagined picking up every inch of ground and storing that expanse inside me for when I needed it. Later, standing on the edge of the school playground, watching the flies cluster by my feet, or staring blankly at my teacher's face in the classroom, I could take myself back to the fields and live there in the cool quiet by myself. Everything in my Lahore was cramped. Five of us shared a bedroom, four of us shared the back seat. So that expansive emptiness seemed impossible, like a glimpse of the divine. I could send my eyes running off over the fields, even as I stayed jammed in the back seat of the car against my little sister, forget-me-not, my hands up against the glass. "Don't touch the glass," my mother said from the front seat. "It leaves a smear that never comes off." Running, in my mind, faster than was possible, stretching my muscles as hard as they could possibly be stretched. In that space, no matter how I moved, if I flung myself or rolled or cartwheeled, I didn't know how to cartwheel, I knew I wouldn't come up against anything.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?